dance with the spirit early in the morning, and walk with the spirit throughout the long day. Work and hope for the new life upon, and listen to the spirit to show you the way.
Dance with the spirit early in the morning, and walk with the spirit throughout the long day.
Greetings in the name of Christ to all of you on this Pentecost Sunday. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a very warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. So today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we're remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit to the apostles and the power they received to testify or prophesy to the world. May the Holy Spirit come and fall afresh on you today, and may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And we're going to begin with our call to worship, and do join with me. Your parts are on the screen in white. Spirit of the living God, dance with us on this day. Come, whirlwind of wonder. Sing to the groaning of creation. Come, still small voice of hope. Enflame us with your passion for justice. Come, liberator of the least. Purify us of our grasping greediness. Come, advocate of selfless living. Silence our gossiping tongues. Come, harmony of God's heart. Wind of God, blow through us. Come, fire of God, burn within us. Tongue of God, speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And let's continue with our opening song, number 395, as we invite the Holy Spirit to come to us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold.
Let us come before God in prayer. Spirit, energy of the dance, promise in the water, rush in the wind, rhythm in the word, poetry of the faith, silence in the horror, patience in the waiting, question in the wonder, curve on the horizon, brightness in the sun, speed in the light, life in the resurrection. You are present everywhere and fill the universe. Come and take up your dwelling in us. Cleanse us, and in your love, lead us to salvation. And we come now to make our confession. You call us to be your voices in this world, and we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, and we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, and we go on our own way. When we meet those who are doubting and say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who need your touch and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up your cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe your spirit into us, that we might declare with heart and soul and voice that you are our Lord and our God. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We're going to hear our scripture today in two parts. First, we have a video of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cretans, Rome, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What can this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." And now Maggie Finbow, Circuit Safeguarding Officer and a steward at Museum Street, is going to continue our reading as she reads Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Let's continue in worship, singing number 384, as we ask the Holy Spirit to come and change us. Holy Spirit, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts.
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain. Let your voice be heard. Come and change.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As well as today being Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, this year also coincides with Aldersgate Sunday, which some of you also know as Wesley Day, and it's the Sunday closest to the 24th of May. Aldersgate Sunday is the day that we remember a life-changing moment in the Christian journey of John Wesley. Now, Wesley was going through a troubling time with his faith, a time of questioning. Death had stared him in the face when he'd been in a storm on a boat travelling to America, and he was fearful at that time and felt little comfort in his religion, but he was amazed at the faith of the Moravians on the boat. After that, he had struggled for several years with his faith, and during that time, he had seen several others transformed instantly. On the 24th of May, 1738, Wesley attended worship at a Moravian Religious Society meeting on Aldersgate Street in London. And it was during this service, at about 8:45 p.m., as he heard Luther's preface to Paul's letter, Paul's epistle, to the Romans. As he heard it being read, he felt his heart strangely warmed, and he experienced God's love in a most personal and life-giving way. And John Wesley wrote afterwards that as he heard about the change that God works in the heart through faith in Christ, he said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." Until then, John Wesley had known God in his mind, but not in his heart. Now he understood the value of a personal experience of God that would bring assurance of salvation to the believer. And he didn't keep quiet about that experience. He told others about it. He testified. He preached about it. He reflected on it. The Holy Spirit can come upon us in many different ways. In our Acts reading, it said there was a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and divided tongues of fire appeared, and a tongue rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So maybe you felt the Holy Spirit in a dramatic way, like the apostles or John Wesley. Or maybe it was in a quieter way. Maybe it was an unexpected peace that just swept over you. Or goosebumps. Or a dream. Or a word or a thought that came from nowhere discernible. Or a nudge to do something for a neighbour or a stranger. Or when you felt the urge to hold your tongue when you might have made some cutting remark that would have been hurtful. Or when you spontaneously lifted someone in prayer. Or when you received the courage you needed to stand up for someone or to stand against injustice. Spirit comes in many ways. And what do we do after the power of the Holy Spirit falls on us? How do we go on with our faith journey after something amazing has happened? I want to suggest that what we should do as disciples is the same thing as we would do after any other exciting event occurs. What do you do when you've been to a wedding, when a baby's born, when you've had a great holiday, when you've had a bit of good news? What do? You find someone to tell. You talk excitedly about it. You tell your story. You testify. We're not called to keep quiet about our faith. We're called to demonstrate it and to tell others. Our excitement about what we've discovered can then help others. Before he left them, Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. Jesus says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning." As Methodists in recent years, we've been talking about a Methodist way of life. You might have seen these cards that have been recently produced. If you don't have one, there's a link that's showing right now. It's also available just below this video on the Methodistic website, where you can download this card. And it talks about four things that we as disciples do as we live out our discipleship. So worship, praying, worshipping together, reading scripture. Learning and caring. Caring for ourselves and others, studying together, practicing generosity and hospitality. Service. Helping people in the community and world, caring for creation, and challenging injustice. And then there's this fourth one, evangelism. The church exists to make more followers of Jesus Christ. And it says three things. We will speak of the love of God. Share our faith with others. And while we do, we will live in a way that draws others to Jesus. Now, the word evangelism is often perceived as a scary word. What comes to your mind when you think about evangelism? The Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door? Someone standing on their soapbox on the street corner preaching hell and damnation? People passing out pamphlets as you walk through the town centre shops? An acquaintance cornering you at a party and asking you if you are saved? Well, evangelism is so much more than those stereotypical images of saving souls. Evangelism is simply talking about your faith to others. Simply talking about your faith to others. It means talking to those who are not Christians, but also to those who are already disciples of Jesus. We grow and change as disciples ourselves when other disciples share with us. Your story might touch someone else, and their story might transform you. And it doesn't mean that we have to approach strangers. We can share our faith with our family, our friends, our work colleagues. In research conducted in the late 20th century, over 75% of Christians said they came to faith through a friend or relative. Evangelism is telling your story, your testimony about how God has impacted your life. It means telling stories about forgiveness, about mercy, about finding unexpected hope. Stories of loving actions done towards you. Stories of serving others. Stories of justice. Stories of changed lives. Can even mean telling the hard stories of hurt and pain and struggles. And while our words are important, so are our actions. If we're seen to live in a loving, compassionate and kind way, displaying hospitality and generosity, challenging injustice and caring for our neighbours, it will invite people to think about why Christians do these things. And they might even be encouraged to ask you about your faith. My faith has been impacted the most by the stories of others. It's their stories that have then caused me to go and wrestle with the scriptures and even wrestle with God. I've changed my understanding of racism because of the stories I've heard from people of colour that I've met and that I know and I trust. From those I was at seminary with and from those in my congregations. I've changed my mind about thinking of homosexuality as a sin because of the stories I heard working with some amazing LGBTQ Christian folk. Each time my faith understanding is challenged, I've searched the scriptures and I've wrestled with God. And I've ended up with a more fuller understanding than before. Prophets like Micah and Amos began to resonate with me. I began to understand God's justice, not as a punishment meted out by God, but as the righting of injustices and the treatment of all people as beloved children of God and made in the image of God. We grow as disciples when we share our stories. Michelle Alexander was one of those whose testimony had an impact on me. She's a black lawyer, and she's the author of the book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. I was at an interfaith social justice conference when she spoke passionately about her story as a lawyer and how she believed the American criminal justice system had some racial bias. But then, how after many encounters with innocent black men, she came to see the systemic injustice within the system, that no other country in the world imprisons such a large proportion of its racial or ethnic minorities. And she began to analyse the reasons. Because I heard her story, her testimony, I was then open to hearing the tough things that she wrote about in her book as she laid out her arguments. It was a moment of clarity, of understanding, that led me on a continued voyage of discovery. And I have since listened to congregants of colour who've told me their stories of traffic stops and of being tailed around stores and the many microaggressions that they experience. I know the American system is different to the British system, but as the British Methodist Church is beginning to work towards being more racially inclusive, it's those experiences I had in America that then led me to leading a circuit study using a book on racism written by a British author last year, speaking to the British context. And it's why I'm committed to doing anti-racist work. I no longer think that we should be colour blind, but we need to be colour aware. And then it's events like the District Symposium on Racism last Sunday that fill me with the power to testify. Your story doesn't have to be a big story, though. Sometimes it's just about the phone call you received when you were feeling at your lowest and your friend said, "I felt God nudging me to call you." And then how you felt Christ's love enveloping you. And then you tell someone else. That card about the Methodist way of life, on the back of it, lists four questions to discuss regularly. When were the last time you were able to talk about God? What opportunities to share your faith have there been since we last met? How have you responded to opportunities to share your faith? Is there anyone you might invite to consider Christian faith? Four questions about evangelism that we should be asking each other regularly and holding ourselves accountable. Over the past 14 months, God has been with us. We have prophesied, we have seen visions and had dreams. We brought the message to others in many different ways. Video, live stream, Zoom, printed services, banners, window displays, gifts on railings and trees. And we figured out how to take care of each other remotely and use our websites and Facebook and social media. We do have a faith story to tell. Each of us do. The Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, comes in different ways. Yes, there are times when the Holy Spirit is a still, small, quiet voice. But sometimes the Holy Spirit comes with the power to knock us into orbit and to the ends of the earth. At Pentecost, there was a noise so loud that it could not be ignored. The same wind that was blowing in Genesis chapter 1 was blowing in a mighty way at Pentecost. God's word was still creating. The spirit that animated Jesus' life was shared with those present. There was energy that caught fire in the room. And they went out and testified. They were emboldened. They were filled with power. They were energized. They were on fire. They were full of God's Spirit. The Spirit was let loose in the world, and the church was born. A church that was made up of people filled with the Spirit of God, people with a story to tell. And God's church is still full of people, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with power and energy and with stories to tell. Can you feel the power? What are you called to testify? Who are you going to tell? And I'm going to leave you with a quote. A few years ago, there was a blog that asked the question, "How is the Holy Spirit at work in the world today?" in 100 words or less. And as I reread them this week, the one that stood out to me this time was by Bruce Eppley. And he said, "The Spirit is found in sighs too deep for words that move through creation, giving us life, energy, imagination and courage to face the challenges of today. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." With every breath, we can receive that same life-giving power that breaks down barriers of ethnicity, gender, sexual identity, age, and faith tradition. With every breath, we can experience Spirit, enabling us to receive and give the divine inspiration that transforms all things, mind, body, spirit, relationships, and the planet. Breathe deeply, God's Spirit. Be transformed and inspired. So breathe deeply. And when you have received that power, go and testify. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, a year ago, we were in the first pandemic lockdown at Pentecost. And at that time, I was invited to join in an act of unity with other Christians in Ipswich, saying the Lord's Prayer together. There were 34 ministers and clergy representing 22 churches from around the Ipswich area. And it was put together as a project by Reverend Ian Daniels, associate priest at St. Augustine's. So at the end of our prayers of intercession today, we're going to watch this video and unite our voices as we say together the Lord's Prayer. And it does have slightly different words to the ones that we usually use. So let us now come together in our prayers for the world. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. Open our eyes to see the presence of God all around us in the stillness of this sacred space, in the busyness and noise of our town streets, in the joys and celebrations of our lives, and in the tragedies and struggles that break our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and inspire our warring world to seek peace, to love our enemies, to put away our weapons, to remember the price paid for our freedom, to care for those who have served. And this week, we especially lift up the people of Israel and Palestine. Bring peace to that area of the world, we pray. Give their leaders wisdom, compassion, and love. And we pray for all those who are grieving, who've lost their lives in the attacks that have happened this week. Come, Holy Spirit, and comfort those who grieve. Grant them the peace that only you can bring. Stir within us a trust in life beyond death as we ponder the mysteries of Christ's resurrection and the hope we have in new and everlasting life. And we pray for India, not only for the deaths in their country from COVID, but also for the oil and natural gas employees who lost their lives in the sinking of a barge near Mumbai when they were hit by a severe cyclone. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring wholeness to the sick. Strengthen those who are weak. Heal the wounded and broken, and give rest to the weary. And we pray especially for our own country, as the Indian variant of COVID begins to make its way into this country. We pray for protection, that the vaccine may work against this variant, and that the spread of COVID will continue to remain at low levels and ever declining. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite a fire in our bones, a passion for justice that cannot be quenched, until all of your children are loved, until no one is marginalized or oppressed, until everyone has the opportunity to thrive, until the world is transformed and renewed. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive your church. Inspire us with Christ's vision for a world reborn. Help us to recognize our gifts for ministry and use them in service of others. Transform our hearts and our minds and fill us with love that overflows. Remind us that there is no greater calling than to love you with all that we are and to love our neighbours as ourselves. And we pray at this time for the churches in our circuit, and especially for those reopening their buildings again for worship today for the first time in a long time. Gracious God, give us a glimpse of your kingdom emerging around us and drawing us into the new things you are doing in this world. It is for your kingdom that we now pray, filled with your Spirit, using the words that Jesus taught us.
So let's join together and say the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I'd like to thank everybody who has participated in our worship service today, to Maggie Fimbo for reading our scripture, to Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for their musicianship, and to Adrian for doing the video editing. If you're watching this video on the Methodistic website, just below it, there just above this video, there is a sign-in form so that we know that you've been here. Just type your name, location, and hit the red button, and we will see that you've been worshiping with us, celebrating Pentecost with us today. We're going to continue our celebrations this evening, with a Zoom circuit worship service for Pentecost. So come and join us at 7 o'clock tonight on Zoom. You can get the link from any of the ministers and circuit stewards in this circuit. Next week is Trinity Sunday, and Professor David Wellborn will be our preacher as he helps us contemplate God as the Trinity, in a sermon that he has entitled, God, an Enlightening, Energizing Enigma. So we come now to offer ourselves to God, and let's be generous with our time and our talents and our treasure. And I encourage you to support your local church. Let us pray. Bountiful God, we come with our offerings in response to your love. With a new life in Christ, we give ourselves in service to others. With the energy bestowed by the Spirit, we seek to inflame all your people with a zeal for your way. Receive the work we do and the gifts we bring, that they may become a blessing in your sight. Amen. And our closing hymn is number 404, as we respond to God's Spirit in our hearts by telling everyone the good news that God's kingdom has come. God's Spirit is in my heart.
God's Spirit is in my heart. He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do, what I have to do.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see, and set the downtrodden free, and go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my witness throughout the world, the whole of the world.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see, and set the downtrodden free, and go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Don't carry a load in your pack. You don't need two shirts on your back. God's workers can earn their own keep. Can earn their own keep.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see, and set the downtrodden free, and go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
You have to say, don't worry, because on that day God's Spirit will speak in your heart, will speak in your heart.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see, and set the downtrodden free, and go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Go into the world with the power of God's Spirit in your hearts. Go and testify, telling your story to all who will listen. And may the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.